Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 75th Venice International Film Festival, and I'm very pleased to be joined by filmmaker Hagar Ben-Asher. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And of course, you're presenting the film Dead Women Walking here at the festival in the Giornata degli Autori Strand. So I guess the first question is just kind of the obligatory question, I'd say. For the listeners who may not be familiar with the film, how would you introduce it?
I'd say it's a film telling the story of women who are heading towards their execution. It tells the last 9 steps prior to an execution, and every chapter, every vignette, every step is telling the story of a different woman.
Yeah. I mean, just as a follow-up question, it may seem kind of like a simple question, but why specifically women?
You know, the women's violence is very different than men's violence, and I was very intrigued of discovering why or how can women do such hideous crimes and such violent crimes, and it was a bit more interesting for me to dig into that topic.
Yeah.
And it was also interesting for me to understand if it's different to condemn a woman to death than it is to condemn a man to death.
But do you also feel like it's talked about less in cinema?
I believe that's true. Yeah.
One of many stories, I guess.
Yeah.
Know? But maybe I don't know. We'll get back to the film itself. But maybe it's in general things are changing now. The vibe seems to be that something is changing. That more women's stories are being told. Right.
Yeah. You know, it's a tough political movement, yeah. And I'm part of it. I'm in it. I don't know.
So, back to the film. There's a structure to this film. There's an episodic structure.
Yeah.
Why did you decide to go for that?
You know, it started as a technical decision, because it started as a short form web series.
Oh.
And it was a combination of, you know, having to do 9 episodes of 10 minutes each. And, you know, then I thought about the ticking clock element, and, you know, all these things were combined together. And, I mean, I knew I was about to edit it as a film as well before I shot it. So, you know, it had these 2 directions to it.
But is there another reason why you decided to also go for cinema in the end and turn this into a feature-length film? Maybe a different audience reaction, a different type of, I don't know, aura around cinema that web series maybe still doesn't have, it might have in the future.
Right? Yeah. You know, it's a powerful thing, web series is today. It's getting more and more powerful, but I think that I think it's a tough subject, and, you know, it's a tearful film. People cry a lot, and I'm not sure that they would do that necessarily if they would sit in front of their iPhones or their computers. And I think that also I think that the growing effect of it has a meaning as well, that you're not finishing an episode and then it's done and you're gone. But you actually you're obliged to sit through the entire thing and experience it all together, and not as an episodic feature thing. So,
that's certainly true. I mean, sometimes that's kind of the power of cinema, isn't it? I mean, you are in this room, and sometimes you can't move. You're forced to watch these things.
Exactly.
But it is a tough subject. I mean, you know, besides the fact that it is women's stories, it's also executions.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know. I mean, what's the situation with executions now,
It's still happening, right?
Yeah.
There are currently, men and women on death row in the U.S.
Yeah.
It's just still happening in most of the states in the U.S. It's still a valid thing. China and Iran as well. It's still happening.
But But so, you as a filmmaker, where did the interest, when did you become interested in talking about executions?
I don't know. It's been haunting me for a while because, I don't know, for me, having a system be so vulgar and so determined and so powerful, for having the ability to take somebody's life and not, you know, believing in rehabilitation and not believing in anything optimistic, and finding the strength to kill somebody as a society, as a system, for me it's a crazy concept.
Yeah.
And it happened that I read an article about a man who sat 17 years on death row, and 3 months prior to his execution he was supposed to he was found innocent with new DNA tests and things like that, you know. So this man was 3 months ahead of being executed, and then he was released out of prison after sitting 17 years on death row, you know. So it's crazy.
Scary.
It's crazy and frightening and everything.
And so then you set off to do this research. Now, how did you set off to do it? Did you talk to people who were on death row?
No, I did not. Unfortunately or not unfortunately, I don't know. The process of this. I spoke to a few executionerists. I spoke to one who was the head executioner for many, many years in Huntsville, Texas. He did 98 executions. That's the number.
Wow.
You know. And, just the very basic question I asked him, but how do you go home to your wife and kids after you've done something like that? And he said, you know, it's my job.
Well, that was what I was going to ask you, actually. I guess it's also because I interview people myself, never an executioner, mind you. But what is the first question that you ask them? You sit down to talk with them.
You dig into it slowly because it was very hard for me to understand what kind of man he is and what is he really dealing with. And it started with technical questions. How exactly is it happening? Da, da, da. What kind of deviations from the plan do you have throughout an execution, and technical things? And then, you know, in the end I asked very honestly and simply, what does it mean exactly for you to be the one saying, now, giving the nod? And I talked to a few and it was always the same answer. It's our job, it's what we do, we prefer that we do it because we're generous and kind and we have common sense, and it's better us doing it than somebody who doesn't care about this. You know, it's a they're very, very, simple in a way, but very, I don't know how to express this. You can see the darkness. Mm. It's not something that you would not see. The
desensitized.
Darkness is,
yes. You become desensitized.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
But
okay, just about the film itself, the stories are, I feel, are so different, and you really pay respect to the fact that all these women, and all even the people within the scenes, like even the guards, have their own lives. Like, I feel like they all have their own identity. So that was also important to you,
Thank you.
Not to generalize people,
Yeah, I think that's one of my goals in this, you know, because we have the title of this woman killed her husband and his kids and the family and everybody, but eventually these are human beings and they come with their stories. And they, in 99% of the cases, they come with horrible, horrible stories. And, you know, they carry such tough lives and such tough stories. And it was important for me to show the ambiguity of this, you know. It's not always, it's never just one thing.
Yeah,
People are never just one thing.
So I just noticed that we're running out of time, but I wanted to ask you one more question. Are you thinking of doing anything else with this theme, or are there any topics that you wish to explore in the future as a filmmaker through film?
I'm already in preparations for a next film and a TV series, and they're not about the death penalty. Mm.
Yeah. you're not only just looking at the death penalty, you're also looking at other things.
Right? Although I think I'll come back to it one
All
day.
Right. But it's nice. I feel also that, you know, that's kind of part of the reason why this film exists, is also to get people talking, right? You were telling me just before the interview that today, as we're recording this interview tonight, will be the first time that you'll be watching the film with a European audience.
Yes.
What has the reaction been so far with other audiences?
It was in Tribeca Film Festival. Yeah. There were several screenings, and everybody was crying throughout the entire film.
What?
So,
really?
Yeah, so I'm very intrigued to see what's going to be tonight.
And the conversations after the screenings, what were they like? What were they asking you? What do people ask you when they see this film?
It's funny because you'd be surprised in how little people know about, you know, where they live and the rules of the places that they live in. And, you know, they can ignore things to a certain level, and then, you know, it hits them in the face. And it was very interesting because it created a big commotion, and a very big emotional commotion. It's been quite ravishing. Really looking forward for tonight to see how it hits different audience.
Well, I wish you all the best with it.
Thank you very much.
And it was a great pleasure talking with you.
You too.
Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks.
And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.